Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf by Zion, but we're holding a pei vav amud beis at the last line. So let's just redo the Mishnah just to remember where we were holding. Nadra ishto v'savur shenadra bito, nadra bito v'savur shenadra ishto. Since it was a mistake in the hafara, he thought that his wife had made the neder, or vice versa, he thought that his daughter had made the neder, it really was his wife, or vice versa, was really his daughter. In any event, when he finds out the truth, the Mishnah says, he should be made for again. Same thing would be true if he thought that Nadra bin the Korban, and she was really Nadra bin Nazir, or vice versa. He thought that she made herself a Nazirah, whereas in actuality she had made a Korban, and he was made for on that das. When he finds out, he should go back and be made for again. Let's say she actually had made a neder that she wasn't going to eat figs, and he thought that she was making a neder not to eat grapes. Based on that, he was made for the neder. So again, in all of these cases, the question really is hafara a generic thing, or is a hafara a direct relationship, A, to her, and B, to her neder? So there has to be the precise neder, and it has to be the precise individual, and it's not just using my kayach to cancel nidorim. So in all of the above cases, the Mishnah says, Hareza yachzor v'yafer. Now, of course, the question is, where would we get the idea that the hafara is actually so specific, and that it isn't just a general prevention of the chalos of nidorim to anyone that's under his power? Why does he have to identify the precise neder? And must be, the Gemara assumes, that it's going to be based on the Pasuk. Remember that the Pasuk says, Keheni avia ota, and that ota is, again, very specific. It says, ota is specifically to this person. Well, if that's the case, it means that hafara isn't generic, and it means specifically this neder. So hafara is not generic, not vis-a-vis the individual, and not vis-a-vis the person who made the neder. But then that means that you're taking for granted that when we use in the Pasuk a pronoun of that sort, it's meant to actually define the entire idea, and it is not simply Dibera Katuv Behove, that we're just talking about. You know, we're talking about a father, we're talking about a wife, so we say her, but her doesn't mean anything. However, when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, in which the Ota, remember the combination of the et and the object of the verb, turns it into a very much more stressed, in English we don't have a concept of et at all, because we don't have that preposition, it doesn't exist in English. So simply stating an object would mean that the verb applies to the object. But in Lashon HaKodesh, when you add the et, the et is a pronoun that implies specificity. And therefore, I mean, you can't translate it, but you know what it means in Lashon HaKodesh, right? So when you say the et ota, right, so to speak, so then you are making it very specific to her. And if that's the case, then the Mishnah would make sense. The problem is that we need to ask ourselves whether the specificity itself is specific. In other words, let's say the Torah does go out of its way to discuss a specific case. Is that meant to imply that every case is specific and therefore it has to be the correct neder and has to be the correct person and so on and so forth? Or was even the specificity just an expression of the relationship of bein av labito or bein ish l'ishto? And the interesting thing is that we have another case where we don't take that type of specificity so seriously, and therefore we want to know why over here we do. Therefore, asks the Gemara, Lameimra diyani ota dafka hu, are you saying that because the Torah specified it in this fashion, so we have to take that specification as being definitive about the very meaning of the act, and that therefore the hafara has to be very specific. But we have another case, and this is an interesting case in which there is also meaning to a specific relationship and to a specific event, and we don't say that it has to be in all cases specific, even though over here you would assume it would be even more specific than in the case of Nedarim. And that would be in the expression of Avelud in the din of Kriah. Now, this is a really crazy situation. Suppose someone tears his clothing about hearing of the death of a relative, and it's the wrong relative. But the person who did die in the car crash, this kind of thing actually happens, not all that rarely. And the person who did die was also a relative that he would have had to do kriya on, but he did the kriya on the wrong person. So how do we know that kriya per se is meant to be very specific? Because the pasuk repeats al, al, al. Now al, al is telling you make very certain that the kriya is on this specific case. Where do we find that? That was on the great tragedy of the death of Shaul and Yehonatan, in which David HaMelech is brokenhearted. And it says over there, al twice, which means you're mechuyev to be korea on a nasi, obviously. And David, his closest lover, is Yonatan. And therefore, he's mechuyev to be korea on him. And it says in the pasuk that when he was maspid, it was the idea of the specificity of the difference between the kriya on Shaul and the kriya on Yonatan. And it says, nonetheless, in the Brisa, that it is not meant to be specific, because it says there, let's say, chas v'shalom, somebody gets information that his father was killed in a car crash. So, amrulo met aviv, he tears his clothing, and then he gets another telephone call, no, your father actually survived the crash, but your son was killed. So it says over here that he was yotze yedei kriya. Since Lamaisa was Korea, now you would think Korea, for heaven's sakes, is the most specific emotional issue. And yet we're turning it, despite the fact that it says al, we're turning it into a generic act of the expression of pain. So the nafara, I mean, I understand that nafara nakama is specific, but it can't be more specific than this, is it? So we don't translate the specificity in the pasuk into an ikuv in terms of the halacha. So how do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, it all depends on the case. If the case is that the tearing of the begadim was done on an assumption, so let's say they call and they say, you know, your father was, no, they say to him, the case that we've had up until now, we assume they said to him that your father was killed in the car crash, but that's not what happened. They said to him, there was a terrible accident, come to the hospital, someone was killed. And he makes the assumption that it was his father. In the end, it turns out that it wasn't his father, it was his son who was driving that night, which he hadn't thought, but it was never 100% clear. It was an assumption all along. So that means that innately, the kriya was nonspecific at the beginning and meant to cover whatever it is that this tragedy is, right? So that's the big difference. And hub is tam v'hub mefarish. So if the information that was given to him was specific, then the kriya is specific. If the information that was given to him was just an assumption, and it was a generic information about a death in the family, then he would be yotze, because he took that into consideration at the kriya, and the kriya was not defined, therefore. And I'll prove it to you, says the Gemara, because the Braita actually confirms that. Vahatanya. Take a look at this Braita, and you'll see that that's completely the case. Umrulo meit aviv, vikara. If they tell him your father died, and he's korea, and then it turns out that it was his son who died, lo yatza yedei kriya. But what if they told him someone died? Umrulo meit lo meit, there was a terrible accident. And he assumed it was his father, because normally his father would be driving at that time. And he was korea, and then it turned out that it was not. It was a different accident, and it was his son who was killed. He would be yotze yedei kriya. There you go. So you see that the difference is in what it was that he knew positively at the time and what it was that was the assumption. Okay, so there we're not violating the al-al. Mashenken, over here, we would have to make the same type of distinction. That enochinami, when it says yachzar the affair, it's talking about that they did indeed tell him, not that he assumed. They told him your daughter made the neder. So then if he was Beifral Das, it was wife who made the neder, then Einotinami, he would have to go back and make the new hafara. Masha Einkein, in an equivalent case to this, where they told him, oi, vavoy, she made a neder. Oh, there she goes again, thinks he about his wife. Or there she goes again, thinks he about his crazy daughter. Okay, but it turned out that he was jumping to conclusions. So in that case, the hafara had a generic element in it. And because of that, he would not have to be chazer. So the two cases are actually equivalent. The specificity is meant, but only where it was applied. So if he had a specific thing in mind, then he would have to redo it. If he had a more generalized thing in mind, then he wouldn't. Now, the problem with this is that the lashon that we had initially, omru lo met aviv, it says over there that he was yotze, but it says that they told him it was his father. I mean, you're claiming that, no, they didn't tell him it was his father. So why does it say they told him it was his father? Well, it means they told him someone was killed and he assumed it was his father. Does that seem reasonable? So comes along Rav Ashi, and he says, well, it doesn't seem reasonable to me. I mean, I agree that it's true. Obviously, there is a braita that says that it depends if it was specific. I'm not arguing on that. I just don't believe that that's the case over here, because it says they told him that it was his father. Therefore, I want to introduce another variable, not merely the question of what he knew. That's always the question. What did he know, and when did he know it? So before we talked about what did he know, now we have to talk about when did he know it. Let me de lo remise beoraita. So it's all basically impeachment. Even that is here in the sugya. So the question over here is, when did he find out that it wasn't the one that was told to him? That's the difference. And that is kan betoch kedei dibur, kan la'achar kedei dibur. The idea over here of your being yotze kedei kriya, other kamer yatsaya de kriya, that's talking about where within the kedei dibur of what it is that he did, he found out that it was his son. Masha Inken, where it says he's not yotze, that would be talking about acha kedei dibur, hada amet lo yatsaya de kriya, liachar kedei dibur. Now, the question is, of course, that we would normally have assumed that the din of kedei dibur is actually a function of dibur and not of just the amount of time that has elapsed. But it turns out that the idea of toch kedei dibur is an interconnection. And this is the way that the Ran understands it. Because the Ran asks like this. If we're saying that if a person commits himself, let's say, to a purchase, right? He says, okay, I want to buy this. And he says, yes, and takes the contract and then changes his mind within kedei dibur. The halacha is that he could change his mind. In other words, the kinyan is not concluded until that lapse of time. How is that possible? Says the Ran. Where would such a thing come from? Now, even though the Ran quotes, actually, as we'll see when we get into some of these issues in a moment, I mean, the Ran quotes the possibility that this is a takana dirabanan, and he brings that actually the Ramban paskins that way, citing the Rabbeinu Tam as his mocker, that the Rabbanan made a takana. Why did they do that? Well, because imagine, it's a very strange kind of takana, but imagine that you are a Talmud Chacham and you are trying to buy something and you agreed, but you had in mind, I think I agree. And just at that minute, your Rebbe walks along. Now, what are you going to say? No, I changed my mind. No, you have to stop and you have to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umuri. So in order to allow a Talmud Chacham sufficient time to recover, they let him say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umuri, and then he can change his mind. Not about Shalom Aleichem. So the question, the obvious question, as the Ran says, that strikes him as being a little bit nutty. I mean, how in the world, if you're telling me that what, that midiraisa, this was really, let's say, this was really a neder. I'm going to give you a chance to change your mind? Midrabanan? Because maybe your Talmud Chacham, your Rebbe would walk by. I mean, how are we ochre something from the Torah? I mean, you can just imagine all of the cases over here where you're changing your mind, you know? So the Ran suggests, which we'll see in a moment, why it seems so reasonable. The Ran suggests that the mentality of commitments is always a little bit loose. You never are fully committed to a thing until your brain has an opportunity to absorb the fact, I can't believe I said yes, but I did, right? So it's sort of like, I can't believe I ate the whole thing, right? Before you take the antacid. Okay, so it takes a little bit of time before you really have accommodated your own thoughts, which is a fantastic idea. And because of that, it's a given that any place that you need an actual haskamas hadat, that of course you're going to have that little gap, which we know is part of brain function. We have about a tenth of a second. So this is the equivalent of that halacha. And the proof of the pudding is, Taina's Ravashi, that actually, we're going to see that there are a number of cases where you do not have an option of Toch Kedei Dibur. And that can only be explained by the fact that if you didn't know what you were doing, then you're insane. So if a guy says, I do, he does. We'll see all of those cases in a moment. But that's the way that the Ran understands it. If something has got to have been well-defined before, so then you do not have an opportunity to change your mind. We can just imagine the scene. You know, I do. I don't. Was that Patoch Kedei Dibur? Wow. The ultimate machlokas, right? So actually, we see, in fact, says Ravashi, that this is true. Because I can show you a braita that says that it's true. Here's a case, V'atanya. I didn't conclude the thought. So what this is actually an extension to this idea, and it's quite an amazing extension. It's not simply the idea that your act and the smichas hada'at has to take a little bit of time in order to come together for something to be chal. It's that the da'at that you have about the act takes time. And therefore, I, Ravashi, say, if you find out that the act of kriya should have been applied to the son instead of to the father, betoch kedei dibur, it's the equivalent of its having been done in that fashion. Because the interconnectedness of my thoughts and awareness about what was done to what was done takes toch kedei dibur. And it's fascinating that there's been a tremendous amount recently of research on this issue where you do things that are reflexive and you only find out that you do them after a certain amount of time takes place. Because obviously there's going to be two separate, one more of a reflexive kind of response in which you were not aware that you even made that response. And it even, this is of course the big deal about the crazies that believe that this has something to do with choice. So it proves you don't really have choice. So the brain knows what you were going to do before you knew what it was going to do. So how could you have made a choice? You know, just in all of those issues, obviously you weren't making a choice. You're making a decision, which was completely and totally, you know, electrochemical. It has nothing to do with you in the sense of your will. So that's very true. So it turns out you find out after you've already done something that you were going to do it. So if that's the case, of course, this is exactly what Ravashi is saying. Remarkable idea, no? To find this in the Gemara, that it should actually define he's doing a kriya, but when he finds out at Toch Kedei Dibur that he did the kriya on the son and not on the father. Right? Quite amazing. Okay, therefore, this is Ravashi's brilliant insight, that we can make this distinction between the cases of the Hafara or the din of the kriya, and it would have to apply in both of them equally. So if he finds out that it was his wife who made the neder betoch kedei dibur, or vice versa, so then the hafara was chal because it was done for her, even though he only found out it was done for her when he became aware of it. That's fine, if it's betoch kedei dibur, because that's what it takes the brain to connect the two. And therefore, take a look at this brayta, says Ravashi, you'll see that I'm right. Tanya. It does indeed say, Mi sheyesh lo chole betoch beito. He has someone who's deathly ill, and the guy stops breathing, and he goes into a what appears to be a final shock, and that's it. And we assume that he's dead, and he's korea, and then, as often happens, he suddenly starts breathing again, and now he's alive. So, and then he dies. You know, all these dramatic endings. Classic movie, right? Right. I'm not dead. Then he dies. Okay. So that's the question of if that's betoch kedei dibur. Even this, you see, he can even die betoch kedei dibur. So if he dies betoch kedei dibur, then it was the same action. Because what's the difference? It would have taken you that time anyway, right? That alone, that was not meant to be permanent. Alone. That's it. You're taking the Gemara too seriously, Alon. I give up. Ay, ay, ay. What we need is Levia to walk in now and to tickle you. It's hopeless. Alon! It's gone. Maybe we should not be that powerful about the Gemara, huh? B'toch kedei dibur. All righty. So, to continue. So, it says over there, so the guy is supposedly dead because he was mita alef, and kibiduma shemit, and everybody is korea on the death of the patriarch of the family, and then all of a sudden, he wakes up and says he's not dead, but then he dies. Ve'achar kach meit, lo yatza yedei kriya, says Rabbi Shimon ben Pazim, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mishum bar Kapora, that's only if he died La'acher kedei dibur. But if after saying, I'm not dead, he dies betoch kedei dibur, then it was a proper So even the movie endings are merumas in the sugya. So toch kedei dibur dami. And in fact, we paskin that hilchata, toch kedei dibur is actually kedibur dami, except in these cases. Now, these cases, according to the Ran, are all defined by the fact that if you weren't 100% clear about what you were doing, then anyway, you should be shot. So that's talking about when it comes to chas v'chalila, somebody who's megadef as Hashem, or he's oved aved as kochovim, by saying, you are my God, he says to this idol. You can't change your mind. No, I changed my mind. Too late, right? So at that point, you're going to be already chayev for aved as kochovim. The same thing is true about being megadef a woman. You should have known what you were doing. And because anyway, you figure you're never going to know what you're doing. So therefore, if you're doing it, you're doing it whether you know what you're doing or you don't know what you're doing. So how could toch kedei dibur possibly apply to that case, right? And migaresh, which is the same idea. You're absolutely certain that you want the gerish. Okay, so that gives us a beautiful distinction. Two possibilities, both of which are correct. We don't find that there's any need at all to make a machlokas between them. It's just that it depends on the particular context. And therefore, we have another exciting moment this morning with our Capitan. Amra, konam te'enim va'anavim, Sha'anito emet. Now here the question is, how much of that neder is included in the hafara and in the hakama? So let's say she made one neder. She says, I'm not going to eat these figs and these grapes. Once there was a kiyum for any part of it, it is completely mikuyam. And there's no way to make a distinction between the two. So therefore, you cannot, having once said, oh, I like that not to eat grapes, I like that idea, then she's also not allowed to eat the figs. It's all considered to be one thing. And the reason that we can say this is because yikimenu, remember that the usage, very often we find this in Lashon HaKodesh, we can insert a dagesh, so that we would have the yikimenu would actually mean mimenu, because that's the whole purpose of the dagesh. And therefore, if you say, Yakim Mimenu, so that it would be possible to be Mekayim even part of it, then that would be the equivalent of it. So if he's Mekayim part of it, then the whole thing becomes the same. Okay. Now, you can't do that for the Hafara, right? Because you don't have the Mem there. And yet, it says over here that the opposite were true? If she made the netter for both the Te'inim and the Anavim, and he did the Hafara for the Te'inim, then it's not Mufar. Achi Afer Af La Anavim. Now remember that this was part of our discussion earlier about Yekimenu or Yeferenu, nu, meaning the entire thing, in which case the netter was the specific whole netter, which you must relate to. And you cannot, if you want to avoid it, you cannot say, I don't want to be mefer for the Anavim, but I do want to be mefer for the Te'inim, that then you weren't being Yeferenu. But what about if you just said, I want you to be eating those Te'inim, or I want you to be eating those Anavim? So then the question is there only a Hafara vis-a-vis that, since you didn't mention the Neder, or not? So here it says that it would not be Mufar unless you're made for Fanavim. But that has two possible understandings. It could mean the Neder, even vis-a-vis the Te'inim, is not Mufar. Nothing is Mufar, which was the assumption that we had made earlier, but it might also mean the part that you were not made for is not made for unless you included it. Fine. Just for your idea, which I'm sure those of you who are learning the Moshe Forman Seder in the Rambam have picked up, is that according to the Rambam, there are actually two completely dinim of hafara. One of them is the hafara of the netter by the statement, and the other is the bittul of the netter by the act, in which if the husband says, take this and eat it, he doesn't say he's made for the netter. No, the Ran was mechalik between those things, purely in terms of the act being able to stand for the dibor and is included as the dibor. But the Rambam understands it to be different mechanisms, essentially. And the bittul of the netter, which is not a function of yeferenu in that same way, may be different. And therefore, in this Mishnah, the same thing is true. It might mean that nothing works, or it might mean that it did work, but it only worked vis-a-vis what it worked. The Ran brings both possibilities. So if she says, how about she says two different statements? She mentions she'anito emet twice. She says, konam te'ina she'anito emet, ve'anava she'anito emet. Oh, now in that case, since she repeated the anito emet, so now what she's done is she's made this into separate issues. And over there, for sure, if he wants to be made for one of those anito emet, he can without touching the other one. Same thing would be true, l'gabi the kiyum. Okay? So this is a little bit different because she mentioned it separately. And we'll see that this is dependent in the machlokas that we've spoken about earlier about the neder. If somebody says, I don't know any edus, right? So it's a mechuyev a carbon for shvuas ha'edus for each one of the people that had said, we need you to be made. Anyway, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It's got to be Rabbi Shmuel, says the Gemara, because Rabbi Shmuel is actually darshins the fact that the Torah is put together, Isha Yekimenu, V'Isha Yeferenu, that teaches us that Omra Konam Te'inim Ve'anavim Elu Shanito Emet, if he did the Kiyam for the Te'inim, then the entire Neder, including the Anavim, is Mekuyam. Now that's exactly what our Mishnah says. So when she says in this case that he can't, in that deal with the other one, afterwards, he can't say, but about the Te'inim, I want to be made for. No, he was already Mekayim for the Te'inim. And furthermore, if he did the Hafara for the Te'inim, then it's not Mufar, unless he's made for Aflanovim. Again, that was one approach. It may mean the Anovim is not Mufar, Achie for La Anovim, as we just discussed. That is Rabbi Shmuel. So that's word for word our Mishnah. So clearly, Rabbi Yishmael is the Tana of the Mishnah, because we know that Rabbi Akiva Omer, as it continues over here, that this is not Divrei Kulam, because Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand. The Pasuk has said that they're the same. Isha Yikimenu, the Isha Yifereno, okay? So if Yikimenu, you understand, my dear Rabbi Yishmael, that Yikimenu means Mimenu, and that any part of it that is Mekuyam, the entire Neder is Mekuyam, then how are you saying that that's not true of Yeferenu? Of Yeferenu Mimenu? Says Rabbi Shmuel, well, I don't understand. What do you mean they're the same? In what sense are they the same? Yekimenu can be read Yekimimenu, right? By simply putting a dagesh in the mem. Masha Enkin, Yeferenu, how could that possibly be read Yefer Mimenu? There's no mem there. And therefore, I don't get what you're trying to say. Says Rabbi Akiva, well, you don't get what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say it's a hekesh. If the Torah puts it together, that Isha Yeferenu and Isha Yekemenu, isn't it saying that they work in the same way? That Mahakama would mean Mimenu, so too is the Hafara Mimenu. Amar Reb Chiya bar Av, Amar Reb Yochanan. The truth is that there's a third way to look at this, obviously, because all Rabbi Akiva has proven is that Akama and Afara are Mukashim. But in which direction are the Mukashim? Because the Chachamim actually say the opposite of both of them. Because, listen, both of them are agreed about one thing, right? Zudivrei Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, both of them agree that Hakama b'miktzat, Hakama mimenu, is definitely a Hakama. Now the question is, does that extend to the Hafara or not? But the Chachamim say just the opposite. To make certain that you don't make the mistake, in our opinion, and read that as Yakim Mimenu, the Torah put together the Hafara and the Hakama to make certain that you understood that just like Hafara, you cannot do the Hafara on the entire Neder by being made for part of it. This, there are two gears of oath here, which depend on how we understood before. So, ma hafara, ma shefer hefer, af hakama, ma shekiyem kiyem. So it actually means that it doesn't, it's teaching you not to say that it's yakim mi menu. Okay, so each one is darshaning according to this. The Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva are both darsh the hekesh. The question is in what direction? The first two pshatim in Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, both of them are Dorish the Mimenu. And now the question is whether it implies also that the same thing would be true to the Yeferenu. Oh, excellent. All right. There's another Girsa here, which the Ron brings, and that is Ma Hafara Ma Shehefer Lo Hefer Hafakama Ma Shekiyem Lo Kiyem. Now that, of course, is based on the other approach, that either you're made for the entire Neder, or you're made for none of the Neder, which is a simple meaning of the Mishnah, and the Ron likes that Girsa better. So in other words, in the same way that we're all agreed that you can't do a partial Afara, and if you did, it's not Afara at all, so too if you do Hakama, it's not Hakama at all. That's the preferred Girsa, says the Ron, because it fits with the way we've understood the Sugya all along. Now let's take a look at the last part of the Mishnah. Amra Konam te'ina. So then, if she says shani to'emet, and then she says te'in and inva shani to'emet, so that means that if you repeat it and you say shani to'emet, then it's two completely different nedarim vis-a-vis hakama and hafara. Masha enkein, if she puts them together in one, konam te'ina ve'anava, fine, so then, eino chinami, it's all considered to be one neder. But that's very interesting, because it means that just the repetition of that word, shani to'emet, changes it into two separate nedarim. Who is the author of that? Omar Rava, that part of the Mishnah is going alibet Rabbi Shimon. The case over there was, you have a number of people for which there's an individual that has crucial information that they want him to be made invested. And they all come to him and they say, look, you know, without you, the case is going to fall apart. You're the only aid now that's going to make the difference. And Well, according to whatever the case is, there's another Eder, Sadovah Shabbat Mammon, or he's going to have to swear, he won't be able to swear, therefore you'll be able to collect. I mean, those are all inyanim that we'll see in Shavuos. But the point is where it will make the crucial difference. That's always necessary in order to be chayav Shavuos Eders. And the guy looks at them and he says, I don't know Eders to any of you guys. Then it turns out that he does. And then he's mechuyav to bring a carbon for Shavuos Eders. So there he brings one carbon. But suppose he says, look, man, I don't know, it is for you, okay? Out. So over there, Rabbi Shimon says that it's considered to be separate things only where you made that distinction. And that's what our Mishnah is saying. When you say two things, let's say you would have said, I don't know Adas for any of you, or you say, I don't know Adas for you and you and you and you. According to him, you needed to make a distinction. Like over here, shani to'emet, shani to'emet, shani to'emet. Not looking at the grape and at the fig and saying, not for you and not for you and not for you. That's not enough, because you see that that's considered to be one neder. Well, why? She mentioned separately, you and you and you. We're talking about the ta'ina and the anova. So that's the point, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd have to specify the equivalent of shani to'emet, which would mean you could say a shvua to each one of them, or an indication that each one is a separate neder. Okay, so therefore, it must be that this distinction is, in fact, Rabbi Shimon. Which brings us once again to this amazing special moment of our very own Sir Richard. Now, what consists of the Yom Shamo? The guy has to not only hear the neder with his ears and brain, he has to be able to hear the neder.
Are we going too far? Is this tomorrow's daf?
Who's asking this? This is a jump-the-gun individual. If he thinks tomorrow's daf begins on today's daf, he's obviously a jump-the-gun individual. Now, who would that be? Let me see. Ah! I got it! What's your problem, Brucey? Your problem is you're in the bus. That's your problem. All right. It's bus or bust, but we're gonna do this Mishnah. Bezrat Hashem, we'll go over it again when we do the daf tomorrow, just to make sure that you're not left out by busing. So, this is, Brucey, civil rights applies even to people who jump the gun. So, we're not gonna bust you today. Yodea anishiyesh nedarim. So here's the question. The person is aware of the fact that a neder is binding. He hears about the neder. He never heard about the fact that he's able to do hafara. Is that called hearing? Because it's hearing in an abstract sense. It's not hearing in a way that has anything to do with him. And when you talk to someone and you say, I hear you, what does that mean? I hear you means that I am responding to that which I hear. Okay, so I've changed my mind. Okay, so I'm going to do this for you. It would be like saying, all right, Brucey, we won't do this stuff today, right? So I hear you. We didn't hear him, even though we heard him. And the same thing is true over here. If the husband hears the neder, but he has no idea that there's a concept of hafarat nedarim, so therefore his hearing is just an abstracted yedia b'alma. That's not called hearing. Eini yodea, when I heard about it, I didn't know sheyesh mefirim. Never heard about this wild halacha. Well, I can just go and cancel my wife's neder. I didn't know that. So there, he would be able to be mefer when he finds out about it. How about if he says, yodea nishiyesh befirim? I do know that people can be made for a neder, but I learned nedarim when I was a kid. I remember it's like so complicated. Most nedarim you can't be made for because it's not included dvarim beinola veina, and it's not included in nidrei and nefesh. And all that I have left was the list I got from Gavi that mentions those things, but I don't remember all the details. And I didn't realize that this neder is considered to be one of the kinds of nedarim that I can be mefer. So what happens in that case? So Rabbi Meir Omer, now wait a minute. That means, now there's two approaches here, but basically, this is the simple way of understanding it. It's the Ron's initial response to the sugya. But basically, Rebbe Meir is saying you cannot be made for that neder ever. Why? Because when you do find out that this is one of the types of nedarim that you are able to be made for, there you are responding because of the fact that for the first time I know. But you did know when you heard the neder that this might be one of those nedarim. You just weren't sure that you could be made for, right? So now let's consider a case like this. The guy hears the neder. He learned Maseches Nedarim. He's confused about whether this is one of the Nedarim. So he says, in the event that this is one of the Nedarim, that I am allowed to be Mefer, I am hereby Mefer. Now, what Rebbe Meir is saying is, that doesn't count. Because in the same way that the specificity meant that you needed to be able to actualize the relationship to the wife or daughter and to the Neder, then being somewhat in doubt about it is not sufficient to be able to be Mefer. On the other hand, what are you saying? That, well, today, 2 weeks later, I found out because I met a Talmud Chacham and I told him, you know, I had this Maisa. And he said, oh, that's considered to be Inui Nefesh, right? So now I know, so today I'm going to be Mefer. No. Because you actually had that first day to respond. Now, part of that response is finding out. You're not sure. You're called upon to respond. So what are you going to say? Okay, so I won't respond. I'll respond next week. That's the whole point of the fact that it has to be miyom el yom. You can't say, I'll find out at some future date. Now is the time that you need to act. But you also cannot say, okay, so I will act just in case. You can't act just in case. You have to act with your yediyah. Therefore, what we have over here is enough of a yediyah to be mechayev your response, and therefore to prevent another day from being the day that you heard. In which case, according to Rebbe Meir, you can't go back and be made for it, and you can't be made for it today until you find out that you're able to be made for it. You can't, out of doubt, be made for it. That's Rebbe Meir Shita. V'chachamim amrim, the chachamim say, not true. Yafer, you definitely can be Mefer, even though you didn't know that this is considered to be a real Yediyah. According to the Chachamim, a Mixas Yediyah is Yediyah. That's knowing what you have to know. You know that, you know that you can be Mefer some Nedarim. You know that she made this Neder. So, and you're saying, and if I can be Mefer this Neder, I do hereby Mefer it. What's wrong? Where does it say that you need the full-scale understanding of the neder to be made for it? And therefore, according to the Chachamim, this is considered to be mixas yediya kakol yediya, and in the event that you actually responded, then it would be a real response. And it's a complete miyom el yom. Says the Gemara, maybe you should think about Brusi and wonder about whether it's kedai to start me tomorrow night. Once the Gemara makes that suggestion, then already it's different. He's just jumped the gun to apply it to the Mishnah, but it wasn't an inconsequential insight, was it? So there you go, Brucey. It wasn't miyoma yom, so it wasn't a complete yediyah, but we just heard the sheet of the Chachamim that we can actually apply it anyway. Therefore, we will take your suggestion to continue on Matzah Shabbat.